All right, 1 Thessalonians, please. Take your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. I have 21 minutes to preach a 41-minute sermon. All right? So I'm going to go fast and you'll have to listen quickly. Let's read the text beginning in verse 13. The title of the message tonight is The Effects of Preaching God's Word. Now this dovetails a little bit into our Sunday morning series. I didn't know it was going to do that, but that's a good fortification of our Sunday morning series on the Word of God. But notice what Paul says here. My heart was gripped by Paul's expression of appreciation of the attitude of this church in Thessalonica receiving and believing and living the Word of God. And you'll pick up on that as we read the text. Let's begin reading in verse 13. We'll read down through verse 16. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who have both killed. Now, he talked about, let me make a little bit of commentary here to get the continuity of thought. He said, I know you've suffered at the hands of some of the Gentiles that does not understand your salvation. That's their countrymen. And you've suffered at your countrymen, much like we've suffered at the hands of the Jews. Now he's talking about the Jews. Look at verse 15. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Father, help us as we look at the effects of preaching the Word of God. Many churches have gone away from preaching the Word of God. They've gone to entertainment. They've gone to feel-good services. They've gone to psychological speaking. They've gone to edifying themselves. They have gone to an imbalance of psychology. Many churches across the land have forgotten all about preaching the Word of God, preaching the gospel. I'm thankful, Lord, that Cross Point has not left its moorings. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we are a gospel-preaching church. And that, Lord, we are reaching here in Indianapolis the very people that you want us to reach. We know that we can't reach them all. We wish we could. But we are thankful, Lord, that we can read this passage of Scripture and walk away from it not feeling like a hypocrite. And I pray, dear Lord, that tonight my heart would be easily seen to people I love and care for as we continue to develop a strong New Testament, God-honoring, Bible-believing church here on the west side of Indianapolis that believes in the Baptist distinctives specifically and holds to them and holds to the Word of God as our rule of faith and practice. Thank you, Lord, for it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Paul greatly appreciated this church. And the reason he appreciated the church is because they were able to receive the Word of God. That is obvious from the very first verse that we read. Notice it says that Paul was thankful for this church and he was thankful without ceasing. Now you'd think that might get a little boring, do you not? Or maybe a little superficial. But Paul wasn't boring or superficial about his thanksgiving. He was much appreciative. I think we live in a thankless society. Many years ago, I determined that every opportunity that I would have, I would say thank you. Every opportunity that I would have, I would express my thanks or my appreciation for someone's service, for exercising their gifts or abilities in the church, for doing something for me personally, whatever it might be. Thanksgiving is so important. And something about this church captivated, kind of over the top, with Paul's mind. Because he said, I cannot stop thanking you. In other words, their hearing the Word, believing the Word, receiving the Word, and living the Word became a capstone of his memory of that church. Now I wonder, 20 years from now, what one-line memory will I have of this church? What one-line memory does Pastor Defoe have of this church today? Spending all those years as pastor, growing up here, spending all those years as pastor. What line, one line? To this church, in Paul's mind, he says, I am thankful that you received the Word of God properly. You didn't receive it as my Word or the Word of man. But indeed, it was the Word of God. That's what he was bragging on. He wasn't bragging on his preaching. He wasn't bragging on his leadership. He was bragging on these people who could discern the difference between the Word of God and the Word of man. And here we find Paul was over the top. Now, why would that be? Why would he have that kind of emphasis? I asked myself that question. Was not every church that Paul started like this? No. I mean, you read about some of the churches. Read the book of 1 Corinthians. Ouch. That church was in trouble. I mean, the entire first epistle was written to correct them. It's terrible. Now, you read the book of Philippians and you see some very positive things about the book of Philippians. You read the book of 1 Thessalonians, you see it again. But not every church was receiving and believing and living like this church. You've got to remember, this church, located in Thessalonica on the north part of the Aegean Sea, a port city, that church became known as the citadel of Christianity, and the reputation in the known world was that Thessalonica was the city of Orthodox Christianity. It was the Orthodox city. That's the kind of testimony that this church developed in that busy city in the first century. They faced persecution, trouble. The devil worked against them. We read in our text, this was a mixed congregation, Jew and Gentile, Samaritans. There were all kinds of races in this church. And this church had persecution from their own countrymen, for the Jews, or for the Gentiles, and for those that were Jewish and Judaizers, from their Jewish brethren. And the Apostle Paul made no bones about it. The Jews killed their own prophets and they killed the Lord Jesus. And so I ask myself this question. No church is without testing. No Christian is without testing. Our strength comes when we are tested. And so God uses, Satan may use it to thwart God's work in our life, but God uses it far beyond Satan, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so many times Satan tries to use something in our life against us, and God will turn that thing inside out and use it for his glory. He does that quite often. So none of us are above being tested. Individually, our church is not above being tested. I gave an admonition to that in my pen and from this pulpit tonight. Why? Because I realized that Satan would love to thwart the work. And we must walk with the Lord, as I mentioned earlier. Now, here is one of my great concerns. I know good, well-meaning people, many times, who will know what the Bible says. They will know the principles of the Bible. They will know the commandments of the Bible. They will know the precepts of the Bible. They can quote the Bible. But something comes into their life, and all of a sudden, they question that. All of a sudden, what they believed, what they stood on, what they thought the verse meant, is now brought into question. This church had an incredible testimony of a church that knew the Word of God, received it, believed it, and it changed their life. This church has an incredible testimony of the power of the Word of God. I want to ask you a question. What happens when someone comes to you and all of a sudden you feel like your conscience is being violated? Your biblical conscience is being violated. That is the test. That will become the test of your character. Character is not measured in what it got, what it took to get you started. Character is measured in how little it took to get you to stop. Stop believing the Bible. Stop letting it change your life. The title of this message is The Effects of the Preaching of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul preached at this church. They took the Word of God, which, by the way, had not been even placed in the canon yet. No canonization yet. They were passing these letters around the churches, learning much from them. Here is a first century church. They were faced with compromising situations all the time. Denounce your faith and you live. If you don't denounce your faith, you die along with your family. We're talking about first century Christianity. I told a preacher recently, you know, we really don't know what persecution is. We think persecution is one lady in the church that's gossiped about somebody. That's about the most persecution we get. Or a man in the church gossiping about someone. That's about, we almost have spastic colons and high blood pressure over. This church was a persecuted church. And it was only, listen, it was only the Word of God that brought relief to them. It was the Word of God that helped them. They understood the Bible. So let's look at three things quickly tonight. Let's look at the reception of the Word of God, the imitation that took place, and also the opposition that took place. Look at the reception back in verse 13. You see the word received, mark it there, it's twice. It's used twice there in this verse. And this word received is the key word of the text. Matter of fact, that's the effects of Bible preaching. When Bible preaching is received, I'm talking about the truth of God's Word, the principles of God's Word. Now, this word receive means to accept God's truth as absolute and bring it into your life and associate it with your living. And that is this word. A lot of people, they know about Bible principle up here, but they've not received it down here. Amen. Receiving is not just knowing facts about the Bible, not just knowing the commandments. Receiving is saying, I believe that commandment. Thou shalt not steal. I believe that commandment. Thou shalt not lie. I believe that commandment. Therefore, I'm going to put that commandment, I'm going to associate that commandment with my life. That's what these people were doing with the Word of God. They were putting the Word of God in their lives. These people were taking the Word of truth that they heard preached, that they read out of the Old Testament Scriptures, these letters that they were passing around, messages that they heard Paul preach or others on the mission team preach. They were taking them and they were letting the Word of God literally be associated with their life. They weren't ashamed of that association. They welcomed the association. Hey, I'm crooked. I'm messed up. I need the Word of God. We've been learning what the Word of God does for us on Sunday morning. And where does all of this start? It all starts at salvation. It is very hard for an unsaved person to live by the principles and precepts consistently on the Word of God. It is difficult for them to do so. They struggle with it. Why? Because they're not saved. But have you ever noticed that when someone gets saved and they begin to grow? I'm looking at people that's been saved since I've been here. And I have watched you grow. I'm looking at people who were saved when I got here. And I've seen you make great steps, spiritual steps, growing. Why? Because we understand 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes in Christ desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may, what? You tell me. Grow thereby. You do not come to this church to occupy a chair. You come to this church to hear the Word of God and grow. And no one has arrived yet. When we do not have to grow anymore, we'll have bodies like unto our Lord's. But until then, we are growing. No one has arrived. And you and I have spurts of spiritual growth Because of the power of the Word of God. I've been building a sermon that I'm going to deliver a week from tonight in the Denver area at the National FBF meeting. I've worked on that sermon and I've developed it, and I have learned so much from this sermon that I have developed. I have thoroughly enjoyed getting it together. And I'm chomping at the bits to preach it. That's preacher talk. That means turn me loose and give me my time. Not that I'm proud about it, but that I am excited. You know why? Because the sermon has already changed my life. And I plan to preach it to you. Amen. Soon. Amen. Because down south we said it was a help to me. A heap of help. And I'm sure if it helped me, it's going to help you. Why? It's the power of the Word of God. And that's what verse 13 is saying. You receive the Word of God, not as the Word from man, but as the very Word of God. It has a tremendous effect on people. It changes people's lives. Truth never stays dormant. Truth is alive. It does not stay dormant. Truth is the power source of victorious living. It can get us through our weaknesses. It can get us over our sins, those that we struggle with. Might not be some great sin of commission as much as it'd be a sin of omission. God's Word gets us through those times. And it turns us away from sin, and it turns us to our Savior, and it causes us to want to be fruitful in our life and have strong faith and to deny self. It's the Galatians 2:20 life. So it is received. Then I want you to know also that it works. Look at verse 13 again. Effectually worketh. Effectually worketh is a phrase that we get our word fervent from in our King James Bible, and it is often translated in our English language as energy. This is the word which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It energizes us, the truth of the Word of God. It's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. That's the Word of God. Effectually working because I have been saved. I have received Christ as my Savior. I can receive the Word in power. I can grow in God's grace. In other words, people will be able to see the Word of God is operative in my life. Can people see the Word of God in your life? This is the word energy. It's operative. This is why Paul said to the church at Philippi, "For it is God which worketh in you to will and do His good pleasure." God is working. Therefore, the Word of God is so important. If we do not allow the Word of God to become like a log, a backbone, as big as a log in our lives, you know what we will become? We'll become people without a backbone. We'll not have any absolutes. We'll not receive anything absolute. We'll believe the humanistic lie. And we become like jellyfish. Have you ever been around jellyfish? First of all, I don't like jellyfish. We went to a beach one day, and I mean, jellyfish was everywhere. It's terrible. I watched the jellyfish. Jellyfish, and I found out, jellyfish just moves with the tide. Boom, the tide goes over here. Boom, the tide goes over here. Yeah, they can't swim against it. There's no backbone. They don't have any bones. Jellyfish, they latch on to anything without thinking. They have no self-defense, no backbone. I do not want to be like a jellyfish. I want the Word of God to be like a log. Strong, bring strength. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now this church had an opportunity to show itself as a testimony of receiving the Word of God. So I ask you tonight, Have you received Christ first? If you have, then you have the Holy Spirit. You can hear the Word of God preached, and the Spirit of God that lives inside of you will give witness to the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
And when that truth illuminates your heart, you will immediately, as a believer, have a decision to make. Will I receive that and make that operative in my life, or will I put that aside for another day? What do you do with the Word of God? I want to tell you where it shows up, and then we'll close. Whether or not you are a biblical receiver of the Word of God will show up not in what you say or what I say. Talk is cheap. Whether or not you receive the principles of the Word of God shows up in every decision and choice you make.
Amen.
That's where it shows up. And if we make a selfish decision, if we make a decision of pride, if we get bent on something happening our way and we're going to make it happen our way, and then we will have to live with our way. But people who allow the Word of God to have free intercourse in their life, and because of the power of God's Word setting us free, helping us understand, we can make good choices. It is the little foxes that will spoil your life. It's the little tiny decisions that we make that add up. So what decision do you make? Or if someone comes to you to compromise your belief about something, will you coddle them and tell them what you think they want to hear? Or will you give them the Word of God? I close with this illustration. I have her permission to use it because it's my sister. Many years ago, she began to date an Air Force pilot. He actually was training men for the Gulf War. He's a jet pilot. And we were glad. They had met at work. She worked on the Air Force Base. And they met on the Air Force Base. And they fell in love. And in the process of falling in love, there was a big glitch. We found out he was married. Huge glitch, don't you reckon? Huge glitch. And so my sister had to make choices. Our family prayed. We talked with her. My dad was still living then. He talked with her. Her preacher brother talked to her. Her business brother talked to her. Her sisters talked to her. But you know, sometimes, are you ready for this? Love is not blind. Love is stupid. It's worse than blind. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And according to my sister, he was going to get a divorce and they were going to get married. And here's what she said. She says, "Rick, will you perform the marriage ceremony?" Now, I don't have to tell you what I said to her. And I did it in love. But I had an opportunity. I love my sister. Do you love your sister? If you've got one, you should. Did it become about my sister at that point? Does it become about my sister? Answer me.
No.
What does it become about? Principle. The Word of God. This ain't right. I told her so. In a kind way. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. Finally, it was like a light bulb come on in my sister's life. And she said, "I can't do this. This is wrong." I believe God answered all of our family's prayers. And I rejoiced when she called and she says, "Rick, I want to quote you." I said, "Quote me, sister. Tell me that." Now, I already knew it. She says, "I drop kicked him through the goalposts of life." It was fantastic.
Amen.
Months later, we were home for Christmas. She was weeping. She says, "I'm past 30. What about getting married?" And I said to her, I said, "Have you thanked God that He's kept you single? And have you said to Him, I'm willing to stay single unless you put somebody in my path? He said, no, I've never prayed like that. I said, let's pray right now. And we begin to pray. And it wasn't 2 months later, she was calling me and saying, hey, Rick, you got to come home and meet him. They're now married with a child, with a successful business. And God answered prayer. Amen. I'm glad that I didn't let my love for my sister override the principle that I've always believed about marriage according to the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm glad for that. So the next time someone wants you to violate your biblical conscience, even though it might be someone we love and respect, we have to make a choice. The choice should be, what does the Bible say and what should we do? What should we do according to the Bible? Because we have to remove our family and our blood and our friendship, and we have to get down to the bottom and say, what does the Bible really say here? Let's obey the Bible. Huh?
Amen.
That's what we should be doing. This church was known for receiving the Word of God, incorporating the Word of God and letting it be operative in their life, even while they were under heavy persecution, far much more persecution than will you marry me or not. We do not know about persecution until we read the history of the first century church. May the Lord help us be like these believers. Let's read verse 13 one more time in closing. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received, incorporated, let the Word of God become operative in your life. When you received the Word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in the truth, the Word of God. And notice what that Word did. It cut into their lives, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Let me say something in closing. As believers, listen, as believers, we should not be making our choices like unbelievers.
Right.
We should be making our choices from the Word of God.
Amen.
Even if we have to confront hard things, God honors it. We still love them. We still care for them. Never changed my love for my sister. She didn't speak to me for several weeks because of my position. But she got over it.
Amen.
I have found out if I stand on the truth, you'll get over it.
Right.
And you'll love me more for it.
Amen.
And you'll respect me more for it. And my dear friends, that goes both ways. So when you make a decision, you make a decision based on principle of the Word of God. Not on wishful thinking. Not on what we want. But what does God want in all this? That's the decision making that we should be faced with every day of our life. Let's stand, please. Father, we have all made carnal decisions. Fleshly decisions full of self. Nothing about the truth. Wasn't God's will at all. We know what it is to have to face down on that and say, I'm sorry. The problem is, Lord, we're not divine. We're human. It's easy for us to let personalities and love of that personality take us in the wrong direction, cause us to think wrong, stinking thinking. Never has fixed anything. Makes it worse. Lord, help us to be receivers of the Word of God, incorporating the Word of God into our life, associating it with our very heart and life, so that we will be seen as people who allow the Word of God to be operative in their life. For some in this room, they are trying to help friends see truth. May this message help them. Some will be faced with compromise tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. I pray that every time we read verse 13 of chapter 2, we will remember the truth of this word receive. Not a light word, but a very demanding one. And help us, Lord, to be sweet and strong and without compromise in everything that we do. May our position be right, but more importantly, may our disposition be right. May we show genuine love and care. May we know when to talk and when not to talk. Give us that wisdom that will show that the Word of God is operative in our life. May what we say and the decisions we make reflect the very fact that we have received Your Word.